Welcome to The Real Fake News on KPCR, Pierce College Radio, a critically sarcastic analysis of news. In this show, we'll differentiate the real news from the fake with help from comedians and college professors and experts. Today, we're going to discuss presidential and electoral politics. As usual, there's no shortage of news stories revolving around our president. Today is Wednesday, February 20th. It's 1:40 p.m. I'm your host, Jesse Bertel. Joining me here today, we have L.A. comedian Julia Rueckert, who performed at the Comedy Store and BuzzFeed Video, and Thousand Oaks City Council member, who was reelected after 44 years, and political science professor Ed Jones. Hello, Julia.
Hello.
Hello, Ed.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. So today our discussion will be in the format of a game called Real News, Fake News, where I randomly pick from a category of real news stories or fake news stories and ask you questions. Pretty simple. Yeah? Okay.
Sounds great.
Now that we know the rules, let's play the game. All right. So let's see what our first story is for today. Oh, real news. Just in time for President's Day, Trump declared a national emergency to get his wall built. Is this unprecedented? Has a president ever declared a national emergency for something like this? Any thoughts on this?
Well, I'm not an expert on national emergencies. We don't really have them at the local level here, but I think it's really unusual, especially when he came on at a press conference and said that he doesn't need to do it right now. You would think, you know, like if your house is on fire, you wouldn't say, we don't need to put the water on right now. So I think it's not too much of an emergency, really.
Yeah, I think he doesn't know what the word emergency is. It's usually it's a national disaster, right? Like, usually there's a hurricane or something before.
It's something that Congress does not pay for. See, the Constitution is very clear in Article 1, Section 9, that all money has to be appropriated by Congress. And the national emergency was designed in the 1970s to give the president leeway in case there was a national emergency, like we'd been attacked from somewhere, and Congress didn't have time to assemble to appropriate the money, so he could just declare an emergency and appropriate the money himself. This seems to be a little different situation.
So are there going to be implications of this action? You think it's going to backfire?
Well, there don't seem to be any implications with the people in his party that seem to be depending on being in his good graces to get reelected. They seem to be listening to a different force or a different voice than I think is a constitutional voice. I frankly don't agree with it.
I think we're just going to find out how ridiculous this can get, you know?
It's getting pretty ridiculous already. How far can he actually go, right? It's like every day we're constantly going, can it go further? Can he do anything weirder? And
I mean, I've gotten to the point where if it's news about Trump, I kind of just don't listen to it. I'm like, okay, it's going to be bad, and I'll find out later by somebody telling me about it.
Well, let me just say that a number of parties have challenged this in court, and it's going to have to go through court tests, just like when he first came into office, he was going to ban all Muslims. Even American citizens were Muslims from coming into the United States. And that went through the court for many months. And before he was finally able to invoke a very limited version of his first ban. And I believe this will be in the courts quite a while before anything really happens.
All right. Well, let's go ahead to our next news story. Let's check it out. Hey, it's my first show. Give me a little break. In fake news, according to Fox News, the best fake news I can think of, Kamala Harris says she listened to Snoop Dogg and Tupac in college, yet their albums came out after she graduated. What she meant to say was she was smoking weed while she was the deputy district attorney in Alameda County after college. Is this news? Is this even true? Or is it,
where did this come from, Fox?
Fox.
And they reached the conclusion that when she was doing these things, she was high on some drug?
She said she, according to them, what she said was she was smoking weed and listening to Snoop Dogg while she was in college. But she went to college in the 80s, and Snoop Dogg didn't come out till the 90s. What do you think, Julia?
I mean, maybe she was listening to Snoop Dogg, like, singing in, you know, a preschool choir. There you go. And then that could be true. She brought some marijuana to the preschool. There you go.
So do you think Fox is just trying to smear her here?
Oh, yes, definitely.
What do you think, Ed? You got experience with the news and campaigns?
I mean, this is such a strange period we're in right now. I've never seen a situation in, you know, many, many years in which you have a news channel which seems to go counter to what the major media have said, like the New York Times, the
or even
Washington
facts.
Post. And I try to get my news from the public television, the evening news, which I think is balanced, because if they have a controversial subject, you have two people that are speaking, one on one side and one on the other. And that seems pretty fair to me. But you know, Fox seems to be way on. And I would say MSNBC and CNN, you know, take the much more liberal approach. But they, in my opinion, they back up their news with a more factual basis than Fox does.
Did you have any negative experiences with media when you were campaigning, either in the past or in this recent?
Yeah, you always do. You know, and this is my 25th year in public office. I was on the council 4 years before. I was 12 years on the county supervisors and 8 years on the park board. And things don't always come out the way. What I hate is when they quote you with the wrong quote. You know, I don't mind so much if they offer their opinion and they say Ed Jones said this or Ed Jones said that. But when they put it in quotation marks of something I supposedly said and it's not correct.
That's happened to you.
Yes, that really bothers me.
Can you think of anything in particular that...
I don't think of any particular matters right offhand. Since I've been back in local government, it hasn't been quite as, what I say, as controversial as it was at one time when I was in county government and had a, you know, like a...
It was very, far milder of an atmosphere, especially in the media, right?
Well, it was a very large territory. And, you know, I think Ventura County... Because it was, when I went on the Board of Supervisors, it was a rather low-populated agricultural county, and we have been growing, you know, and becoming more sophisticated, perhaps. But to answer your original question, yeah, I've felt that I was not always treated exactly correctly by the media. Mm-hmm.
That's just the nature of the media. That's how it works.
Yeah. But I know they have to give both sides, and obviously they're not going to just if you're on a program, they're not going to just toss you softball questions. They're going to try to get to the meat of the thing. So I see that, you know, there's a dichotomy here. Their goal is to, you know, bring out the news and try to be a little bit
but there's a fine line between fair and balanced and giving too much credence to an insane side.
Well, yeah, of course, that depends on your definition of insane. I mean, there are people in my church who the minister doesn't dare bring up politics because we got rabid people on one side and rabid people on the other side, and they just stay away from that. I remember one Sunday our pastor preached on something touching on modern politics. And one of the women in the choir bawled him out afterwards. We don't talk about that here in church. Oh. Well, I've never seen, I'm kind of meandering here maybe, but I have never seen a situation where you had two sides that were so firmly drawn and they don't talk to each other. I've never really seen this before.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think that the media isn't really, it's not about bias anymore. It's more about how can we get the most clicks? How can we get the most Twitter followers? How can right. we get the biggest audience? And that is what's creating the rift. Like we have like, you know, two sides of people I went to high school with that were, I didn't know they were completely narrow, you know, I don't know them as these like crazy narrow-minded people, but now they on Facebook, that's who they are all of a sudden.
Something about social media brings it out in us, doesn't it? I mean, I've found myself putting in a comment that I'm like, wait, when I read that, why am I, you know, that's it's something about the mechanism itself brings out a weird response in us, I think, because it always leans towards the negative comments, right?
Well, you know, the title of your show here, Fake Media, brings up the idea that people purposely try to mislead the public. I think radio and TV stations are torn with the goal of trying to have a good audience by being provocative and controversial. But I think there is a place for truth somewhere that, you know, should guide them. In other words, that they shouldn't stray too far from...
I mean, could we at least get facts to be facts or, you know... alt facts, and I mean, when we got introduced to alt facts, that's when it got a little weird.
Yeah, well, you're a journalist, you know, like the whole point or the whole thing has been like, let's prove that we're not biased, and it's always been like, well, if 99% of the people are saying something and there's one guy that says no, you have to give that guy an equal, like that's what's been happening.
Right, that's what I mean, the equality of the arguments, like when we talk about climate change, right, do we really need... when 99.9% of scientists agree climate change is man-made, do we really need to give equal side to the opposing argument that no, it's not even real?
We do, because there's crazy people on Facebook that will yell at you in a Facebook comment.
But I think a more appropriate balance would be 0.1% of the coverage, not half.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Well, you know, I believe the problem is equating Facebook opinions and stories, statements, remarks, and so forth with actual journalists who are supposed to. I don't know if they take a Hippocratic oath to, you know, but they do check their stories. I mean, like there was a big story that came out in the New York Times about President Trump trying to influence the investigation of Mr. Cohen. But they cited all kinds of sources for that report and how they'd vetted it completely. Well, when people go on Facebook, they say anything they want to say, you know, and I think we should draw a distinction between journalism and what some people put on social media.
It's just, unfortunately, most people don't know the difference when they're looking.
Right. Like the source matters.
Yeah, the source matters, but most people, you know, they don't know what that means. Most people
didn't. No, if it's there, it must be a fact. It's on my page. I mean, I read it.
There's a blog.
It looks like a news story.
Yeah.
And they don't even read the article half the time. It's just the headline.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's funny when the headline's like a joke headline.
Right, like The Onion. And, I've done a few of those on my page as well. I post an Onion post as if it's real and see who thinks it's real. And it's hilarious how many people don't even, they're just, oh, my God, is that real? I can't believe it. And they start getting mad and like, it's a joke. It's The Onion. I mean, just look at the source.
You know, you bring up a very good point here about public opinion and what governs it and what, you know, influences it. There's a quote attributed to Abraham Lincoln that nobody is sure he said it, but, you know, you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Well, he wasn't...
Was that Lincoln?
That was Lincoln. Well, it's
I thought that was Johnny Cash, but
Lincoln,
no.
Maybe. Was there a song like
no,
that?
No, I'm just...
But, you know, hopefully, when people go to the polls next time, hopefully, at least to a certain extent, what Lincoln said is going to prove to be true. And the people actually go to the poll and pull the curtain, if they have curtains, and mark the ballot, that they will use good judgment.
Well, our current president is a far cry from Abraham Lincoln. All right, let's go ahead and see what's next in the news. Real news. Okay, Andrew Yang is running for president on a platform of universal basic income. Have you guys heard about this? He wants to give everybody $1,000.
I would love to take it.
I have not heard of it.
Well, he's one of the candidates, one of the many Democratic candidates in the field. We'll see how far he goes, but his platform sounds pretty interesting economically. We haven't heard anything really on universal basic income. Universal health care, of course, Bernie Sanders was promoting, and, you know, a lot of these more socialist ideas are becoming more prominent, but universal basic income, apparently, he says it goes back to Thomas Paine, and in Alaska apparently does some kind of this from the petroleum money.
Yeah, if you live in Alaska, you get a check instead of a tax.
Yeah, Nixon flirted with a negative income tax.
Right, even Nixon. So is this a crazy idea? You think this is where we're going? I mean, with the automation, you know, Uber drivers are going to be automatic now, and all these, you know, automatic, like Amazon, all the shipping is pretty much on automatic. We're already starting to see a massive loss of jobs from automation. And Andrew Yang believes that's partly why Donald Trump became elected, was economic reasons.
Well, I don't know just about giving a blank $1,000. I mean, I think it ought to be tested by necessity of the person if they're at a certain wage group.
He wants to give it to everybody, millionaires,
is it
poor
people. Is it a month
people,
or a year?
Every month. Okay. And he says we can do it financially because we won't need – so say you're getting food stamps. Well, that's part of the $1,000.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's what I was wondering, because most of us are already getting like a
– If you're getting government assistance, he wants to put that
– health care
as part
–
it's $1,000 total. So, yeah, all that subsidy. Yeah.
So for a lot of people, it'd actually be a cut in income.
Yeah, that's what I was – yeah, I was wondering if the math adds up.
If you've had a heart attack and you're paying for it, like that's a huge – that you're in trouble.
Well, society has to decide if there's going to be a basic foundation under everybody, or else people are going to be sleeping on the streets. And
people are sleeping on the streets.
They are sleeping.
More and more
Los Angeles,
in this town, especially. Yeah.
Every luxury apartment building that goes up, a new tent city goes up right next to it every time. That's where I live.
It's a real problem, and I don't think you have to be a socialist to believe that we ought to take care of these problems. So, for instance,
right.
Medical. I did a study in Ventura County when I was on the Board of Supervisors, and the every county has a health officer. They're medical doctors, and our Ventura County health officer told me the overhead in Medicare is about 4 or 5%. That is money that is used to operate the system. In private health companies, which we see advertised all the time on television, it's 18 to 20%. Okay. Obviously, we're wanting the money to go to the people who are delivering health care, not people who are insuring us. I think that if you were to have some type of universal health coverage, like Medicare for everybody, and eliminate all the money that doesn't go through to health providers but stays with insurance companies, that would go a long way to paying for the system. And I don't think it does any good to call it socialism. You know, when you start using...
It's a scary word, especially with our history of socialist...
That is, I'm working on that.
The McCarthy era, right?
When you just use a code word, and everybody, I'm shocked, it's socialism. We've had socialism since the 1930s.
Parks and recreations, as we were talking about outside the state.
Well, all these big social programs, yeah. Social Security, Medicare, Medi-Cal, Medicaid...
Right. I mean,
all these things,
all the good stuff.
Well, socialism
it goes to corporations right now. Like Amazon made $11 billion in profits and paid zero taxes. That's the only thing I know.
I just feel, as I say, there ought to be a basic floor under, you know, when I was on the County Board of Supervisors, when people were indigent, were, you know, taken by an ambulance to a regular hospital. As soon as they could get that person stable enough, they moved him right to our county hospital. You know, and these were people that couldn't afford to have doctors, they couldn't afford medical insurance. So the taxpayer ends up paying for it anyway. So why not do something to, it would be cheaper, because if you catch these things early, the medical bill is not nearly as high is if you wait till you have to go to an emergency room.
Yeah, we don't do preventative. We just put a Band-Aid when it's done.
We do
We're
little,
good at surgeries.
We
right?
do a little, yeah. But we should do a lot more.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to the next next news story here. Let's see what we got. Oh, we got fake news. According to President Donald Trump, the king of fake news, the Green New Deal touted by Andrea Ocasio-Cortez will be a policy of, quote, taking away your car, of taking away your airplane rights. Let's hop on a train to California of you're not allowed to own cows anymore. He said all this at a rally in Texas. He's still doing rallies for some reason. It would shut down American energy, which I don't think people in Texas are going to be happy with, he said. He goes on to say it would shut down a little thing called air travel. Do you want to take a train to Europe? How are you going to do that? You know. So what do you guys think about this?
Well, I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, the wave of the future is getting off of coal and oil and natural gas.
Is it realistic? Can we get there?
We have to.
We have to.
We're going to run out of oil. That's what happens.
Well, but I mean, it pollutes so badly, and I'm not an expert on climate change, but I know that in listening to people who are experts, that we have just a very short time to stop polluting. And I know that we can't do it on our own, but the fact that others are doing it is not a reason for us not to do it. So I think as far as we can go with it, but if we need a balance with natural gas, et cetera, then there should be a balance until we could go on these other non-polluting sources.
Any more thoughts on this one? No?
I just keep thinking it'd be a lot, we'd have a lot less asthma, a lot less medical bills if we were able to figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, what's so scary about cleaning up the environment? I don't get that. Well, okay, let's go for our last news story of the day. Okay, real news. Bernie Sanders recently announced that he's running for president again in 2020. This time, according to NPR, he's no longer an underdog. He's a front runner. Does he have a chance to win? What do you guys think about Bernie Sanders?
Well, I think that the... now, I don't know how popular Mr. Trump is going to be in two more years, but it seems to me he's got a lot of negatives. He does have a solid base behind him. But whomever the Democrats nominate, obviously, I would think is going to run against President Trump. Some people use his age. You know, of course, I was just elected at 88, so it's hard for me to.
Oh, wow.
He's only in his 70s. He's a youngster. Isn't he a year younger than Trump? Or
just a kid.
He's about the same age as Trump, anyway.
Probably, yeah.
I think he's 6 or 7 years older. I think Trump is 72. I'm not sure. And I think Bernie's 77.
Okay. So what do you think about Bernie Sanders?
I really like his policies and I like his experience, but I also know that at some point we just need to just get all new people. I mean, it seems
he's already feeling a little bit old hat to you.
Well, everyone has an opinion on him, and that's where we're at. We're already at people hate him. I know people who love him, people who hate him, and we just need someone that nobody has an opinion on. I didn't know who Obama was when he just appeared out of nowhere, you know?
He was fresh.
We need an Obama. We need someone who's like, who's that? Perfect.
Something new, something, let's move forward. Yeah.
I think Democrats need to ask themselves the question. Do they want to support somebody who's ideologically perfect, or do they want to support the person who has the best chance of beating Mr. Trump? I think they've got a...
strategic vote, I think this time would be the best choice.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, we're almost out of time. But before we go, I wanted to especially give Julia, a comedian, a chance to plug her comedy. Or is there anything you'd like to tell our viewers?
I need more Twitter followers. My Twitter page is at comedy with an H. It's spelled out the word comedy with an H because my name is Julia with an H. I'm working on a cartoon series about vegetables who solve crime, so look out for that. And I'm also going to be doing shows soon, but I haven't booked them yet.
Awesome. So. Well, Ed, is there anything you'd like to tell our viewers?
I really am not planning on another campaign right away. I just elected for 4 years, And I'll be a nonagenarian at the end of that time. So
congratulations.
We'll see. we'll see what happens. I don't, you know, I get these 20-year report. You know what we're gonna do for the next 20 years. What was George Burns said? I don't buy bananas by the bunch anymore. So.
Well, thank you both for joining me today, Julia and Ed. Thank you, and listeners, for tuning in. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon at Jesse Bertel. Tune in to The Real Fake News every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. on kpcradio.com and my youtube.com/TheRealFakeNews.